and opposing religious beliefs are the cause of endless wars. But it doesn't stop there. The Earth is stood on the precipice of total disaster. Toxins in the atmosphere have created climate change. Will the people wake up in time, or will they go the way of all other lost civilizations?
Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we're going to find out how the world is reacting to the events that have been underway for the last week or so in Montreal. We are talking about the UN Climate Change Conference, and we haven't talked much about the protests that took place last Saturday, December 3rd, in about, I think, almost two dozen countries. We're going to talk to the man who helped organize that worldwide event. He is Jonathan Neal. His history is as a labor and peace activist. He's also a teacher and organizer, but something compelled him to organize the campaign against climate change. I should also say he's an author and teacher and also an organizer of this huge undertaking to try to get people around the world to register their dismay, their concern over the fact that our climate is changing. And I'm sure in particular that the United States, the biggest contributor, emitter of carbon dioxide, is not taking part in the Kyoto Protocol, which of course is not even enough. It's just a beginning. Thanks for joining us, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Tell us, first of all, I mentioned that you felt this was a compelling enough issue to take up yourself. What's the last year been like for you as you try to organize in so many different countries?
Absolutely exhausting.
I bet.
A lot of travel. And in the last few months, exhilarating. The protests took off far more than we thought they were going to.
That's terrific. You'd never know it in reading U.S. media. Mainstream media did not cover it much at all. Hopefully it got better play in Europe and Canada. What was the turnout?
The turnout, the biggest demonstration we had was 40,000 people in Montreal.
40,000.
Very good. And we had 10,000 in London, 10,000 across all of Australia, and 4,000 in Turkey.
How about the U.S.?
Other than that, we had about 24 demonstrations in other countries, which ran sort of like 500 in Finland, 150 in Russia, in places where they're having a demonstration about climate change for the first time.
What about in the United States?
In the United States, I'm still getting the reports in, but what it looks like is there were a lot of small events, small demonstrations, vigils. In the French Quarter, there was a climate change global warming party supported by the bar owners and the local environmental organizations, but it doesn't look as big in the United States. I think most people from the United States who wanted to do something went to Montreal.
There are a lot of people there, some 10,000 at last report. So you were at the demonstration in London. What was that like? What kind of people turned out for that?
What kind of people?
The usual activists? I mean, you can say the 10,000 usual activists.
Activists were the people who organized it, but the turnout was much larger than activists. It was 10,000 people. The majority of them were young. It was a cold day and it rained.
Global warming? What global warming?
Well, it's English weather.
Right.
We've also got that. It was, I would say, about half of them were people who thought of themselves as environmentalists. And about half of them were people who didn't think of themselves as environmentalists but thought something ought to be done to protect the climate.
And how much was the focus on the United States not taking part in where the rest of the world is going?
Half of it. We ended up outside the United States Embassy protesting against what the United States was doing. But in Britain, we also have Tony Blair, who has been very good on climate change, but in the last 2 or 3 months has gone over to George Bush's side on this and doesn't want to have an international agreement.
This while everyone was hoping that Bush would go over to Blair's side. What do you suppose happened in that meeting?
I think Tony Blair, the record now is Tony Blair does whatever George Bush tells him to do about anything, as far as we can make out. I mean, people are very angry about that over here in Britain, really almost across the political spectrum. From the extreme left to the Conservative Party, they're all attacking Blair for this, and lots of people in his own party as well.
Well, you're from that corner of the world. Why do you think someone as intelligent as Blair is listening to someone as unintelligent as Bush?
Well, Bush is unintelligent, but Dick Cheney's smart. Condoleezza Rice is smart. Do you know what I mean? He's got smart, mean people. And Dick Cheney, and when you talk about energy and climate policy, Dick Cheney is the man, really, not Bush.
What I find interesting is there are, you know, U.S. corporations, international corporations, really, but several based here, NatureWorks, Alcoa, that are really investing in renewable energy and trying to reduce their emissions. And they're doing so despite, you know, Bush administrations, you know, not getting on board. They're so afraid they're going to hurt, you know, business, U.S. business, and U.S. business is getting it.
Well, I think the majority of people in every country in the world now want something done. I mean, people may not know the scientific details, but they know that it's out there and that it's very frightening and that something must be done. And it's really just the governments and a few governments that are standing against it. And behind them, it's the oil companies.
Right. And a couple of other big companies that are really showing some initiative, I should mention also, are GE, Johnson & Johnson. These are not, you know, the typical green companies.
Oh, no. I think what's happened is that, with the exception of Bush and Blair and people like that, what's happened is the rich and powerful, they know what's going on. They know that it's frightening, and they know that something ought to be done about it. But by and large, they're trying to do it within the limits of the market. Do you know what I mean? They're trying to do it without disturbing things too much. Mm. And that means that they go so far and nothing like far enough.
Okay, we have 1 minute left, Jonathan. What do you hope to see happen as a result of this conference and all these protests?
What I hope to see happen as a result of the protests is, we said this at all the demonstrations all over the world, next year we'll be back. We'll have global demonstrations again. They'll be much bigger next time in each country, and we'll have more countries. And the year after that, we'll be back again, and it will be bigger. And we want to keep building this until it's on such a scale that there are mass demonstrations all over the world. Because the real problem here is, everybody says, well, I care about global warming, but other people aren't going to do anything about it. And we need to demonstrate on the streets of the world to each other that there are enough people who care and are willing to do something.
Well said. And Jonathan Neal, thank you for caring and for organizing and taking on the campaign against climate change.
You're welcome. We'll
speak to you next year. And we'll be right back right after these messages and a news break. Stay with us. We're going to switch gears and turn to biofuels. What's their promise? What are the pitfalls?
So people, let's lead the way as we create our future today. The pollution that